from JMIS. Andrew Callagher, very good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Mike. I'm back.
And you are back, and you come to us from the palatial new residence that is the Callagher. Have you called it the Callagher? Is that what you're calling your new home, your newly renovated palace?
It is the Callagher Whare.
Fantastic.
Yes, I'm very happy.
I can feel the happiness and joy in your voice.
It is. It's there.
I can hear the echo around the room. Are you in the ballroom or the...
I'm in the modest kitchen dining part of the house,
well,
Mike.
Good on you. Well, I know it's been going on for 16 years of renovations and you're broke for the rest of your life, but at least it'll be worth it, I'm sure. Now,
never mind that.
Let's talk about the coalition. So the questions you've got for the Finance Minister, Grant Robertson, what are they?
Yeah, I have three questions for the incoming Finance Minister, Mike, which I believe need to be answered. They're very simple. And I would be asking these irrespective of which government was in place, because there is now a potential disconnect between forecast spending and policies and their ability to fund that. Now, and I want to point out that I have been consistent in this. I was talking about this prior to the election, about the pointing to the potential risk to the forward growth track. So three questions to the new Finance Minister, which I believe need to be asked. What information are you basing on, or on whose advice are you taking, that is leading you to forecast the economic slowdown? Very simple. Where is that coming from? And what has changed is that both the Prime Minister and both the incoming Deputy Prime Minister have talked about an economic slowdown. Where's that coming from? Simple question two. Do you now disagree with the preview growth forecasts? Very simple. Third question, are you revising the forecast surpluses which will affect forecast government spending? Very simple questions. Now that you are in government, you cannot make vague statements about things like this without those statements being contestable. Now, we've got more detail now on the policies we'll talk about in a few minutes, but my concern has always been that this government is talking about pulling a lot of what I call change levers, with very little experience in what may be the cumulative effect of pulling all those levers at once. So ask those three questions and I will be mollified.
All right, very good indeed. And so the coalition agreement, one of the themes, of course, is regional development. They're throwing a lot of money at the provinces.
Yeah, so short-term, it's a short-term positive, Mike. Regions, in terms of economic development, is a short-term positive. The only issue I have here is that the regions tend to be the ones that are displaying better confidence
exactly.
levels at the moment, that are actually outperforming the big cities of Auckland and Christchurch. So if I ask the question of do they need it, they may need that economic development, Mike, though, because of the negative impact of many small businesses of this rise in the minimum wage. Because just think about it, Mike, $15.75 goes up in April next year, and then by 2020 it'll be at $20. That's a 26.9% rise to a lot of small businesses' bottom line. And for many small businesses, the owners are not making super profits. They often pay themselves last.
Yeah.
And you need to reward people in the economy who are brave enough to go out and employ other people. Otherwise, you won't have the jobs.
There's a lot of artificiality around it. I mean, you're parking some government departments in the regions and there's an expense in that, and you're saying to local businesses, well, you get an advantage now when the government buys something, all of which is good, but it's artificial, isn't it? Fundamentally, it's artificial.
Yeah, look, very quick rundown. Significant investment in regional rail. Well, regional rail has not been an economic success historically, so we need to see more detail there. Auckland Port, a feasibility study, absolutely the right thing to do, because you need to ask the questions, does this make sense? Do the feasibility study. I suspect we both know where that will end up.
Yep.
And if you're going to move the port, you better fix the road up between here and Whangarei pretty blooming quickly. But Mike, the one I have the most concern about is monetary policy. Now, as expected, it is a priority, but I implore the new administration to engage with offshore markets early, be transparent, and ensure the offshore markets know what exactly is going on. Currency is weaker again this morning. We saw it. I heard Corin Dan talking just after the election. He said, look, it's fallen, it's stabilizing. And I'm thinking, watch out, this ain't over yet. It continues to fall. The New Zealand dollar is a heavily traded offshore currency. They need to be transparent. They need to engage.
Good on you. What are the numbers for the day?
The numbers. The Dow Jones storming up overnight, Mike, up 192 to 23,466. That's up 0.8%. S&P 500, 2569, up 5. The Nasdaq, 6604, up 18. FTSE 100, 7526, up 2. Nikkei, 21805. Shanghai Composite, 3388. The ASX 200, up 3 yesterday at 5897. We were relatively unchanged yesterday at 8,130 on the NZX 50. $1 New Zealand dollar weaker again this morning, under the 69 cent level against the US, 0.6895, under the 89 level against the Aussie, 0.8866, the euro, 0.5859, a pound, 0.5251, against the yen, 78.55. Gold is trading at $1,276. Brent crude, $58.12.
You have a good one, mate. Appreciate it. Andrew Kelleher at JMIS. Get hold of him at jmis.co.nz.